great banquet. Or in our day, I think it's probably better to call it the parable of the open house party. So Jesus' words are powerful and they can wake us up when we need it. They can give us a prod. And so I want to look at this passage under three prods. And they all start with I, invitation, insults, and the imperative. So the invitation. Every party needs an invitation. And written on this invitation, come, for everything is now ready. So this firstly went out to the Jews, this invitation. In Luke, in chapter 1 of verse 14, Luke tells us that Jesus was sitting with, he was at a party or dinner with the Pharisees. So they're the religious leaders, and they're the ones who knew their Bible the best, or thought they did anyway. And Jesus in verse 16, he says, once a man made a great dinner and invited lots of guests. And when the time for the meal came, he sent his servant to say to the guests, come now, everything is ready. So this is the moment the Jews had been waiting for. This is the messianic moment when the long-awaited Messiah would come, God's chosen king. It's the party to end all other parties. And it wasn't a new idea either. The metaphor for the kingdom of God as a party or a feast is an old one, like we just heard from Sam reading in Isaiah. Isaiah has a dream of this party at the end of history. And that's what we read earlier. And it says, on this mountain the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples. On this mountain he'll destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers up all nations. That's death. He'll wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. So this is the moment the Jews had been waiting for. And Jesus is actually the one they'd been waiting for. He's the Messiah, the party host extraordinaire. And so these Jews got the invitation first, but they actually missed the boat. Even though they're actually at a party with Jesus and they're sitting with him at the table. They're staring at him in the face, but they miss him. And he was right in front of them in their midst, but they missed him. It's just like the white horse in the town that bloke was in. He missed it because he'd become so familiar with his surroundings, he'd missed the boat. So the Jews received the invitation first, but now I reckon it's even more relevant for us because we're 2,000 years closer to this party than the Jews were. That's why the invitation is more urgent than ever. And notice what the invitation reads in verse 17. Come, for everything is now ready. It's sort of like, do this because of this. So why should we come? Because everything is now ready. And remember, this is God's invitation. He's the one who's sending out the invitation. It's his party. It's the kingdom of God. And he's prepared everything. He's the one who prepares it all. And it's just like God to prepare everything. He does it for his guests and his creatures. Like if you think back to creation, in the beginning, God made animals and they didn't have to wait around for the grass to grow. Everything was ready when he made them. And like Adam and Eve as well, they didn't have to toil the ground first when they were created or plant trees or build dams. Everything was ready for them. The garden was ready with streams and plants and trees and fruit to eat. See, everything is ready before we come. That's why we come, because everything is ready, prepared beforehand. And that's how we get into the party, the kingdom of God. All we have to do is come, because everything is ready. God's prepared it all. It's God sent his son Jesus to prepare the way for us. A way into the kingdom, into the eternal party. God prepared a body for Jesus, and that's the one whom the whole Bible talks about from beginning to end. And he came and did the will of God, and he died for us on the cross and then rose again for our justification. See, that's why we come. He did everything. We don't have to do anything. We just come. He became the man of sorrows so we could become men and women of joy. See, that's why we come, because everything is ready. Everything. We just have to come. That's the gospel invitation, really. In Revelation, it says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wants to drink from the water of life without price come. And the word come is addressed to all without exception. It's an open invitation. Everyone is invited. That's why it's like an open house party. As long as you hear about it, you can come in. The kingdom is for all people and all nations. There's no one who can't come in. But the shock is, there's actually people who don't want to come in. And that's the second prod, the insults. This is more like an electric prod or a shock. Yeah, and the shock is, there's actually people who turn down God's invitation. Look in verse 18. Jesus says, but they all alike begin to make excuses. So I reckon there's two, we'll get onto the excuses in a second, but I reckon there's two reasons why these excuses are insults. And the first reason is because they're just bad excuses. There's such things as good excuses. And if someone were to ask you tonight, why weren't you at our church last Sunday, and you said, I couldn't get into the building, that would be a good excuse, because this place is hard to get into. But if you said, I was at home watching the footy or something like that, or Game of Thrones, that wouldn't be a good excuse, because Game of Thrones is on Netflix, so you can watch it any time. And so you're basically saying you don't want to come. It'd be better to say you don't want to come. So they say a bad excuse is worse than none. So let's look at some of these excuses. The first said, I've just bought a field and I really have to go see it. Please accept my apologies. In other words, he just bought a house without looking at it, and now he can't come because he has to go look at his house. But he's just bought the house, and it doesn't make sense because he can look at the house anytime. But he's turned down the invitation because he wants to go look at it. And the second's the same, the second excuse. Another one said, I've just bought 5 oxen and I've got to go look and test them out. That's like saying, I've just bought 5 cars without looking at them, and now I have to go look at them. I can't come because I have to go look at them. And the last one says, I just got married, so naturally I can't come. But can't he bring his wife too? So that's not really an excuse. So a bad excuse is worse than none. These people are obviously saying, we don't want to come, neither are we going to come. See, these excuses seem awfully polite, but if you look again, they're just plain awful. And Jesus, he's giving us a vivid picture of what it looks like when people refuse the gospel invitation, of what happens when people hear the gospel, but they refuse. So people are still doing exactly what the parable says. They're making excuses, but these excuses are actually insults. And the second reason they're insults is because they're actually loving God's things more than God. See, land, the excuses are based on land, animals, and relationships. But these things all come from God, because the Bible tells us that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So they're loving God's things more than God, and the Bible calls this idolatry. Loving God's things more than God. So do you love God's world more than you love God? When we pay more attention to God's things, that's what we're actually doing. We're loving his things more than we love him. And that's called idolatry. See, J.C. Ryle has a quote where he says, it's not open rebellion that sends people to hell. It's actually excessive attention, too much attention to things that are good, to things that God has made and given us. So that brings it closer to home for us, because in Australia, our creature comforts are our bread and butter. We've got, being comfy is the Australian way of life. And Bertrand Russell, this this writer, and he was like a philosopher. He visited here last century, and mid-last century or something like that. And when he left, he was so impressed with the Australian way of life, he wrote an article about it, and he said, I cannot think, the end of the article, he says, I cannot think what more should be needed to make you people happy. So in other words, he's saying, we've got everything we need in terms of material things to cause us to live a comfortable and happy life. But beware of idolatry, of loving God's things more than you love God. Love of money and possessions and relationships. Unless by doing so you miss the party. We're so comfortable, actually. We're so comfortable here now that we actually have the category maybe on our invitations. So if you think about Facebook, it actually has yes, no, and maybe. It has three categories, and maybe, but it has maybe in there. But maybe isn't really an answer. It's basically like saying no. Lots of people use it to say no because deciding is uncomfortable. But with God's invitation, there is no maybe. A maybe is actually indifferent. You're better off saying no. And I'll quote J.C. Ryle again. He says, what I wanted to say, a maybe is a polite way of saying no. And J.C. Ryle says about that, he says, infidelity and immorality no doubt slay their thousands, but decent, plausible, and smooth-spoken excuses slay their tens of thousands. So there's no excuse big enough for missing this party. No excuse can justify you, not for knocking back God's invitation of coming to Christ. And friends, the urgency is even greater for us now. We're 2,000 years closer to this party. So come now, quickly. Let the words of Jesus sink into your heart. And this brings us to the last prod, the imperative. Look with me at verse 21. Look what happens when the servant comes back and tells the host. Now he comes back and tells him about those who've rejected him with these excuses that are insults. They've insulted the host. Now you'd think that he'd be furious and withdraw the invitation. But look how he responds. He's angry, but he's angry that there's not enough people there. He's angry that there's not enough people at the party. So he orders his servant, go out quickly into the streets and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. See, don't you love this? God's anger actually turns to grace. He doesn't shut up shop. He opens the doors even wider. See, Jesus is the party host extraordinaire. And God desires people to be saved. He wants more people in his party. Even though he gets rejected, he opens the gates wider. See, it's God's outrageous hospitality. On our invitations, we usually write BYO, which is bring your own. But God doesn't do that. On his invitation, it's only written come, for everything is now ready. See, And those who've got nothing are the ones who get to come. The ones who can bring nothing. Look, it's the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. They're the ones who get to come in. See, these are the type of people who never get invited to parties. But Jesus calls them to come. So you might be sitting there tonight thinking you've got nothing to bring. Thinking that you've got nothing to bring into this party. That's perfect. The less you have, the better. The more God can fill you with his grace and transform your life. That's what he does. He can transform your life from a drag into a party. See, that's what God does for us. That's what he did for me, and that's what he does for people. His grace transforms their life from a drag into a party. See, look what David sings. That's what happened to David, and he sings in Psalm 30. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and, and clothe me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. And he says, Lord my God, I will praise you forever. And see, you can't keep silent. That's the thing. You've got to tell it. That's the last thing I want to leave you with, the imperative. In this parable, the host says, go out quickly. And in verse 22, he says, there's still room. And the host says, go out quick, compel them to come in. That's the Great Commission. That's what Jesus tells his followers to do, is to go out. That's what we're to do. See, you can only come to a party if you hear about it. And anyone can come in as long as they hear about it. But they need to hear about it, and it's urgent. See, God wants people in his kingdom. God desires people to be saved. Now, there's a new film coming out soon called Hacksaw Ridge, and it's about this American soldier in World War II who's also a Christian, and he goes out in the battlefield on the front line, but he actually refuses to take a gun, and all he does is run around and save people, and he drags them off the battlefield, and before he goes out, he's on his knees praying, and his prayer is, please, Lord, help me get one more. See, that should be our prayer as Christians. Please, Lord, help me to get one more. One more soul saved. One more into the party. Jesus says, go out quickly into the streets and the alleys. Go out into the highways and lanes and make them come in. See, there's plenty of room and God wants a full house. But there will come a time at the end of history when the doors will actually close. If you look in verse 24. And all those who refuse God's invitation to come won't be able to get in. There's coming a time when you won't be able to get into this party. And why would you knock it back? That's the thing. It's an eternal party. You see, parties of this world don't end. They're binge sessions. They go on mostly for just one night stands. But this is the eternal party. God's invitation to a party that never ends, where everything is prepared. See, Jesus prepared the way. All we have to do is come. And yet, tell others to come and make it your mission this week to go out and invite someone to the party and tell them, come, for everything is now ready. Let's pray. Oh Lord, you have turned our wailing into dancing. You remove our sackcloth and clothe us with joy. Lord, may our hearts sing your praises and not be silent. Lord our God, we will praise you forever. Amen.